This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. And it is absolutely beautiful here in Florida, and I am so happy that I have in the studio with me half of a really, really famous writing team, Andrews and Wilson, and I've got Jeffrey Wilson here, and on the phone, we have Brian Andrews. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, fine. Well, I am so excited to have you guys here. It's a day after Veterans Day, and you two are just such wonderful, wonderful people. You've served our country, and now with your absolutely wonderful books, wow, the new book is in your series, Book 5 of Tier 1. Is that something great?
Well, we're so excited. You know, it's great to be back with you, but now I have to be all honest because Brian's going to be listening this time.
So. Oh.
It's way more fun when I can just blame everything on him because he's not on.
But. Oh, Brian, I don't know. You know, you are like, you two are like Lucy and Ethel. You should be household names, you know, the yes. Two amigos.
Patsy, you got to keep him honest there, okay? I'm counting on you.
Okay.
He's got my back over there.
Okay. You know, you guys, I have to start off by saying, everybody out there, whether you're an author, just a fan of wonderful writing and real excitement, military thrills, I have to tell you too, that scene, the scene in the hospital, is so breathtaking. When I started that scene, and it goes for many pages, I was holding my breath. You write so seamlessly. I don't know if you guys even know anymore who writes what, but you just put it together. It has to be this scene, the hospital scene, where we're in the hospital. I'm not going to reveal anything, but I'll tell you about that. Oh, that nurse. You know, and I'm telling you guys, I don't know how you did it. I've read that scene a couple of times now. Just to analyze how you create a scene so dramatic, so exciting, that a reader is going to be reading that, and they're going to, when they finish, they're like taking a deep breath. You guys are amazing.
Oh, thank you so much. And we don't know either, honestly. It sounds like something you say on an interview, but when we finish a book now, we don't know who wrote what. And so people, even my wife will say, oh, that, you know, chapter 11, that was you, right? It's like, I don't even know. And Brian, I like this analogy. Brian came up with this analogy of two parents having four kids, and they don't say like, well, those two are yours and those two are mine. It's like, together you raise your four kids and you love them and you take care of them and you share the responsibility, and when you're done, you're both proud of them. And that's sort of how it is now with the Tier 1 series. Like, I don't know who writes what. I just know that we both have our hands on everything, and at the end, we're always happy with the result.
And the wonderful thing about the Tier 1 series, they're always so they're so relevant. I mean, they are really current and up to date on what's going on in the world. And so which one of you wants to explain what this new book called Red Specter, we had, that's a little bit of a hint, we have some reds in there. Who wants to explain that?
Go ahead, Brian.
Sure. Well, I before I do that, real quick, I don't want to lose the last comment. I'm so happy that you love that hospital scene, but you want to know something, Patsy. Jeff, do you remember? Our editor tried to get us to cut that scene.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it's so trite, it doesn't work.
And, oh,
yeah.
My.
Yeah. And that was, you know, when in the editing process, you have those things you give up and you have those things you hold on to because you're pretty sure they're right. That one, there was never a hesitation. You're like, no, this scene is.
Oh, it's perfect. I mean, really, they have to analyze this in classes. You know, in college classes, when people are studying how to write a scene that just works so beautifully, it's really quite an amazing feat. So
we are definitely going to send a clip of this to our editor.
Because, you know, as all I love the book. I love all the book. But when I got to that scene, I'm really just I was so excited about it. I got so thrilled with this. I kept saying, "This is amazing! This is amazing!"
You got me grinning ear to ear because I mean, we're just feeling so vindicated because we really like that scene too. And it's like you said, it is long, but there's so much packed in there, and it's so fun, and it moves around the hospital and into the parking garage and stuff. There's just a lot of elements to it, and just when you think it's over, you know, it keeps going. So.
Exactly.
But you know, just to get back to your original question, though, this book is, like you said, it is book 5 in the Tier 1 series. And you know, having read the series, you know this, but some of your listeners might not know. It's really about the whole series is about the evolution of this one particular character, the main character, John Dempsey, and his evolution from a Tier 1 Navy SEAL, which is sort of how he started out, into more of a what we call a spook or a black ops covert operator in the shadows. And this book is really focused on, you know, when he's moving into trying to take on, and his organization, Task Force Ember, is trying to take on a shadow or sort of mirror image operation that's being run out of this, Russia and Moscow. So, you know, we sort of say this book's kind of like, you know, if you took Homeland and Jack Ryan, those two TV shows, and sort of mashed them up, you'd kind of get this series in this book.
And what makes this fun, I'll tell you, Patsy, what makes it fun for these characters is, you know, and I think it mirrors real life. We've spent 2 decades now fighting Middle East terrorism and jihadists, and that's a real challenge. It has its own special challenges. But what it doesn't have is fighting against someone who is your tactical equal.
Ah.
And so, you know, these are characters in this book who have spent 2 decades fighting Islamic terrorists are having to adapt in a major way to this threat that has the technology that they have, who has satellites, who have drones, who have, you know, experience in covert operations instead of the guy that was the goat herder who's now the head of the village and he's the leader of this local jihad. And so our guys are unprepared for that. And we begin that in book 4, An American Operator, but it definitely comes to a head in book 5. And so it's fun to take these characters and do something new with them and have them have to adapt and evolve and become something better than they were.
And tell us about this Russian, the Russian element.
Yeah, so what we've created in these two books, and we'll wrap up hopefully in book 6 coming out next year, is this Zeta organization. So what we have created, for those of the people that are fans of the series, you intimately know about Ember and this super secret task force that the DNI can call on to do the really dangerous covert operations. Well, in this book, in our world, the Russians have created a similar organization that they call the Zeta. And the Zeta have been working in the shadows doing false flag operations, destabilization elements. And in book 4, you learn that they also have directly attacked the United States. And so now we have these two organizations and these two operators that are head to head. And so we have this character, Valerian, who is sort of the John Dempsey equivalent. We have the American President Warner and the Russian President Petrov, and we have Arkady and Kelso Jarvis. We have a lot of these parallels that we've built into this particular book that makes it a little bit fun because you can see it at all levels.
Oh, it is. It is really fun. I cannot tell you how much I enjoy it. And the nice thing about it, the bad guy, you create a character. You give depth to the character. So we really understand the person. We don't like him, but we understand. We understand where he's coming from. And as you said, they are elite too. And so when you have the elite, the best of the best, up against each other, there is a special tension that's built up there, I think.
Well, and as a reader, and I'd like Brian to comment on this because he's someone that really keeps us on course with this element of it. As a reader, I think you enjoy the story more if you don't have a cartoon character bad guy, you know, stroking the white cat, you know, in the chair, but you have a real life character that has their own backstory and their own history and stuff like that. But we try really hard to do that. Brian, you want to comment on that? I think it's one of the most important elements of our books.
Yeah, no, I loved how you were answering her question before too. It's just something that we feel is very important to have these longitudinal character arcs on both sides, the hero side and the villain side. And, you know, Jeff and I talk about this a lot, that, you know, a villain, you know, from his point of view, he doesn't see himself as a villain. He's a hero in his own eyes. He's serving his country. He's completing his mission and his orders. So, you know, it sort of depends on which side of this coin that you're looking at. And we try to really tease that out in this series. And because we write in these back-to-back trilogies, so this book, Red Spectre, is actually book two of the Russia trilogy. So, like Jeff said, the Russia trilogy started with book four, American Operator. Now we're in the middle of it. And what's nice is you get three books to get to know everybody on the opposing side. So it's not like we're trying to, you know, just recycle a plot. You know, every time we come up with a book, we're not trying to just recycle a plot from the previous book where you have to meet a bad guy, he has to do some bad stuff, and then he dies. Because in real life, that's not what happens. I mean, look how long Vladimir Putin has been in charge in Russia. I mean, he's been the president for 20 years, or coming up on 20 years now. We haven't been able to get rid of him. So, I mean, that's real life. In real life, you have people coming and going, but you have people, you know, staying in power for a very, very long time. So we try to represent that in the stories. And, you know, after three books in to the trilogy, you really know Arkady Zhukov, or you really know Valerian Kobach. You know what makes them tick, and it's more satisfying, when they get dispatched, and it's more upsetting when they win. So.
Exactly. And, you know, I had to just jump into the book because I couldn't resist it. I've had this hospital scene on my mind. So I want to just step back for a minute to explain to anyone who doesn't know you as household names yet. And I insist that everybody just learns about you because you are really the I think such a fantastic writing team, and your books, in addition to just being fun reads, I think they also open people's eyes to the world situation, and that's because you guys are real. You know, a lot of people do write, you know, thrillers as set in all sorts of places. And as a matter of fact, I hate to say this, but I did get a book, and I because I had lived in those places, I knew exactly what was wrong with the book, and so I didn't like it. But you guys are able to create such depth because you have depth yourself. I mean, you are like overachievers, I must say. Brian, like U.S. Navy veteran, you served as an officer on a 688 class fast attack submarine. I don't know how you can be in a submarine. They scare me to pieces. But you have a master's degree, you know, a real overachiever here. You went to Vanderbilt? Which one went?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, my son went to Vanderbilt too, and now he's up in Madison getting his PhD. So, but he loved Vanderbilt. Absolutely fantastic.
He sounds like an overachiever himself.
Yeah, he is. But I hope he doesn't go in a submarine. I'm terrified of submarines. But then we have, on the other hand, not that Jeff has many accomplishments, but in addition to being, of course, you know, gorgeous, and he was an actor and a firefighter, a jet pilot, a diving instructor, and, well, you know, in his spare time, he worked as a vascular and trauma surgeon. And then how many tours did you do with the Navy?
I mean overseas, I don't know. I lost count, but I was 14 years in the Navy.
Yeah. And so I love you guys, and of course you've lived through all of this. You know these areas and you know the people, and you have wonderful connections, I have a feeling.
Oh, for sure. Well, you have there's three things that help us, I think, with the realism, that both the geopolitical and the geographical realism. One is we've been almost everywhere, and we've got a lot of military experience. Number two, we both have a lot of connections still in the military and in covert operations spaces, people that we've worked with in the past that we can run things by. But number three, and maybe the most important one, is we're a little bit lucky. So, you know, when we came out with American Operator and all the things that you remember that happened in Syria and the concern over the nukes in Turkey and all that stuff, it looks like we're the most prescient guys in the world. Like, wow, these guys have some... That was just luck that all that stuff sort of came dribbling out right after the release of the book. I mean, it's real geopolitical things that people have real concerns about, but there's no way we could have known that all of this was then going to happen in Syria. And, we wrote about a particular town in northern Syria where a lot of our action took place, and then like 6 months later it's in the news, and that's luck. That and there's no substitute for good luck when it comes to writing geopolitical thrillers.
I just hope that, you know, in 6 months from now, the independence is not sitting at the bottom of Klaipeda Harbor, right?
Yeah, someone's going to come talk to us at some point, Brian.
I know. Patsy, it's so funny. I always tease Jeff about his bio, you know, and when we first started writing together, I was like, oh, you really got to tone this bio down. He's like, but it's all true. Like,
yeah. That's how you can tell I'm a good fiction writer is my bio.
Right, right. But it is really fun. You know, one of the great things about our co-author situation and writing with Jeff is, you know, Jeff has done so many things and he's so experienced in this universe that it really gives us this sort of leg up, I would say, on there's so many talented authors, and you've interviewed so many of them, and you know what great writers they are. But having that ability to say, okay, that authenticity, we've actually done some of these things and we've been in these situations, it does bring a certain level of realism and credibility to the story that's hard to replicate if you haven't been there before.
And we're in the great company. You know, we're members of ITW, very active in Thriller Fest and doing panels and stuff. We made some great friends there with other guys and that are in that same situation. And it is fun to read. You know, obviously we have a bias about our books, but when we read other people's books, you look at someone like A.J. Tata, you look at Josh Hood, who's got the Treadstone series coming out now and all those best-selling books he did before. You look at guys like Tom Young, Don Bentley coming out, who is going to be a superstar next year. His debut is going to be the book of 2020. You'll have to have him on. We'll make an introduction for you. But those guys that have that military background, they definitely write differently. I mean, there's no way you can't. It just vibrates with a realism. So we're very blessed that we have those experiences and that we have these friends that can help us.
And America is very blessed that we have people like you who have served. It was so wonderful yesterday watching the celebration for veterans. There were moments there where I had tears in my eyes as I'm watching some of the coverage on C-SPAN, and it's just so touching. My father was in D-Day, and he received a Silver Heart. A Silver Star and a Purple Heart, both.
Yeah, they tend to go together.
Yeah, they often do go together. So of course, Veterans Day has always been important in our family, and so knowing that you guys were coming on, and today I was really touched by the. You know, as I'm watching the different services and watching and hearing the songs, I get so thrilled when I hear the military music. Having lived overseas and having lived sometimes in dangerous countries myself, I can tell everybody there is nothing in the world that makes you feel better than when you are in trouble in a country to get to an American embassy and see a Marine standing there. That is like the most beautiful sight. I will never forget one time when I was in a really bad situation, riots going on around me, and I run to the to the American embassy, and there are Marines. There's a Marine standing there, the most gorgeous sight in the world. So we really want to always be so grateful to you, both of you, for your service and for everything that you do. And you know, I want to play something here. I want to give a big shout out to Brian has a real great admirer, Rita Moreau, who does little promos for Joy on Paper, because we like to help authors long after the book comes out. You know, it's wonderful that you authors get to promote the book when it comes out, but 3 months from now, people won't remember it. And so we do these here on Joy on Paper. We do these little promos. They're based on your book. And then that way, 3 months from now, 6 months from now, I play promos that, you know, for books that came out 2 years ago, just to remind people. And so Rita Moreau give a shout out to her, Brian, because she loves you.
She's like, oh, hey, Rita. Thanks for loving me. I love you too.
And also to Jeff. You know, Jeff, I showed you Rita's picture here, and she wants to. We're going to play the book buzz that she did for you. And then after that, we'll have a commercial. Hold on, Brian, please. And we're going to talk. When we come back, I want to talk about the characters that you have developed, because I love them. I love Elizabeth. I love Dan. I love all of them. And I want to talk how you develop these characters. So let's play Rita's book buzz for
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with the latest book buzz. It's strike and counter-strike as John Dempsey takes the fight to the Russians in Red Spectre by best-selling authors Brian Andrews and Jeffrey Wilson. Here's the buzz. When Shadow Warrior and former Tier 1 Navy SEAL John Dempsey goes undercover to meet with an arms dealer, he thinks he's laying the groundwork to penetrate the Russian criminal underground. Instead, he walks into a trap orchestrated by Zeta, the secret Russian task force behind a recent assassination attempt on the U.S. president. For Dempsey and the team, the only way out is to lay waste to the Russians, putting a target on Ember's back, America's premier black ops task force. With Dempsey pitted against Zeta, a dangerous game of strike and counter-strike ensues, sanctioned in the halls of the Kremlin and the White House, but disavowed to the world. As the line between espionage, counterterrorism, and special ops blurs, Ember is ordered to eliminate their ultimate adversary, which means taking the fight against Zeta to the Russian soil. But like a phoenix risen from the Cold War embers, Zeta is more capable than anyone imagines, and the Russians retaliate with an operation that will find Dempsey and Ember battling for survival. Red Spectre is the fifth novel in the exciting Tier 1 thriller series by Wall Street Journal best-selling authors Brian Andrews, a U.S. Navy veteran and former submarine officer, and Wall Street Journal best-selling author Jeffrey Wilson, a U.S. Navy combat vascular and trauma surgeon making multiple deployments with an East Coast-based SEAL team. It goes without saying that these two authors really know what they are writing about. Thank you, gentlemen, for your service.
For more of my suggestions on the books you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joyonpaper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Pat. Patsy with a Z, and I am back with my two very, very special guests here. I have in the studio with me Jeffrey Wilson, and on the phone, Brian Andrews, and they are the author of the brilliant military series, Tier One, and we're talking today about Book 5. Hi, guys.
Hey, good to be back with you. And first, before we do anything, Rita, thank you so much. We have a special gift for you that Patsy's holding on to.
Okay. Great. Oh, she's going to love it. Wow. Brian, you know, I always love when you have in the books, of course, the essence of the book comes down to your SEAL motto. And I love when you reinforce that. And so people really understand that you guys are so dedicated. And when you say, I will never quit, you mean it.
Yeah, I think when you face difficult situations, when you face adversity, it might sound trite, but I think we all sometimes, when the world is very busy and when things are confusing, you need to be able to boil it down to, you know, a couple of principles, a principle, something that you can, even when your mind is exhausted or confused, you can come back to this core principle. And, you know, that principle is, you know, teamwork, and never giving up. And if you can latch on to these things, and that becomes part of your core personality, even when you're tested, that's the element that will shine through. And I think that when Jeff and I think about John Dempsey, I mean, he's a fictional character, yes, but he is the amalgam of, you know, a dozen different people that we have served with in both of our careers. So we've tried to bring out and maybe hone the, you know, quintessential or core elements of what those people are, and that's what he is.
And I tell you, I have to go back to that hospital scene. In that hospital scene, he lives up to that one sentence, if knocked down, I will get back up every time. I don't know how many times he gets back up, but it's amazing. And I just, as I said, I love that you have that motto there and that people can read it and be inspired. You have really created wonderful characters. And I must tell everybody that, you know, there's a glossary in the back for anyone who, you know, starts reading the book. There is a glossary in the back in case you aren't familiar with military terms. I love military terms. I think they're very sexy. You can just mumble military terms to me. I think that's really, I think that's a really great thing. So, you know, they're in the back. If you're not familiar, you will become familiar after a little while. And it's just so much fun. The reading of it is so much fun. And, you know, I love when you come out, there's this bantering between the characters. I want you to tell us about the characters. I relate very much. I love Elizabeth Grimes, and I like the last, what was the nickname you gave her? Long Gun Lizzie, Long Gun Lizzie. And I love hearing about what's she using? What's her latest weapon of choice?
Oh, it depends on the operation. I think she uses two or three different long guns in this book, so she tailors it to the individual operations. But, you know, you talk about the banter and about Elizabeth Grimes and some of the teasing they do, and relating that to what we were talking about before, overcoming adversity, I think that's how they do it, and that's why we need so much of that in these books, is you talk to people that have been through really hard times in the suck, and they will tell you they didn't do it for themselves, they didn't do it for their country as much as they love their country, they did it for their teammates. And so that bonding, that camaraderie that they have is what allows them to stand up again and again and again. If it's just for them, they can't do it. And so we try to weave this into the books with the banter, which is easy for us to write because we come from these communities where that's real, and so it doesn't require any research. But the banter between Elizabeth Grimes and Dan Munn and John Dempsey is particularly fun to write because the characters are so different, yet they're so bonded by this common purpose. And so it gives us an opportunity in their banter to flesh out this deep relationship that allows them to function well together, but also allows them to get up again and again. Dan has saved Grimes' life in a previous book, as you know, in Crusader 1. We have them, you know, Grimes is saving everybody's life constantly as the sniper Overwatch. And those bonds that they form are part of that. And so that's why we take that banter stuff. It's fun, but it's a real serious part of the relationships that you see.
And important. Important because, I mean, we have to take a breath once in a while.
Yeah, and I think when you're in those situations, too, and you go, you know, you're in between missions, you're in between operations, you know, you need to be able to decompress a little bit. And you know, humor, even if it's self-deprecating or maybe crass, sometimes that humor is really what you need to get your humanity back a little bit, or get your mind back, you know, out of the stress and the seriousness of what you were doing. And so, you know, just saying that it's true to life, I think it absolutely is. And you know, you even find that in other work environments where, you know, on lunch break or, you know, in between meetings or whatever, people will, if you can joke around, if you can laugh at each other, if you can have that sort of bond between each other, then when times get serious, those are the people that you know that you have a different level of trust with, and that you can count on them when things get tough, right?
Exactly. And that's why I think that's why the books work so well. And, you know, and they seem so fresh. I mean, the newest book is, you know, it could be read as a standalone, but anybody who reads it as a standalone will want to go back and start at the beginning. That's a wonderful thing about, isn't it wonderful in this day and age that people can go back? In the olden days, it used to be hard. People would have to go dig around, you know, for secondhand bookstores.
Yeah.
But it's wonderful that you can just start at the beginning. And I must say, Tier 1 is sort of, it's sort of my favorite because I was in the area and I lived in Iran for a while, so I really related a lot. I understand the Iranians very much, and it's such a shame what's happening, because the Iranian people are really so wonderful, and so many of them would love to be friendly to America. So it's a hard thing, isn't it, when you know these things about people, and I think it comes out through your books too, that, you know, there's depth to people, and it would be nice if things could be better. But of course, then I don't know, you wouldn't have any stories to write. But you certainly have come out with this new one about Russia. As I said, it's so relevant and really fantastic.
Well, keeping things fresh is always a challenge in the thriller series, right? I mean, it's very easy to fall into that trap of sort of recycling stressful character situations in a different country, but the plot lines don't change that much. And so it is a lot of work to try to keep, you know, once you get 5-6 books in, to keep the series fresh. And I think the way to do that, instead of focusing on brand new geopolitics, it's by evolving the characters. And so trying to, you were mentioning how important the characters are, and I couldn't agree more. And not just that they're interesting, but they have to change. If they're the same in book 6 that they were in book 1, it's boring no matter how interesting they are. You need to see new challenges. You need to see new relationships. You need to see new people coming and going, and an evolution of those relationships. And so we work really hard to put those threads through not just each individual book, but through the whole series. So we talk about series arc versus book arc a lot when we're brainstorming the next book. Where do we want the character to go? Where do we want they to become? You know, you love Tier 1, but remember Grimes in Tier 1? She was kind of a pain in the ass,
yeah,
right? Nobody really liked her. Like, she was just like, she didn't think much of them, and she thought they were all idiots, and she was going to fix everything. And look at her now. She loves her teammates, and she's an integral part of the team. And so that evolution for her character in particular has been really fun. Dan Munn going from where he was to then where he ended up in the Keys and working in a VD clinic or whatever we did to him.
yeah.
And to what he has become now. Those are really fun for us as writers, but I think it also makes the reader enjoy themselves more because it's not the same old thing.
Exactly. So, Andrew, you know, I know that you're also a person who likes to help other authors write and encourage other authors to write.
Yes, I mean, I think that, like Jeff mentioned, we both sort of came up through the ranks in this organization called ITW, International Thriller Writers, And, you know, there's some amazing people there. You know, we like to probably call out John Land specifically as a guy who just, you know, sort of took us under his wing, helped us with networking and craft and encouraging us. And you know, this organization also has opportunities for people to hone their craft. And because of that, you know, one of the things that I got involved with is another sort of similar organization called Career Authors, which is just five authors who've gotten together to, you know, run a completely, you know, free nonprofit sort of venture, just basically to provide, you know, advice and tutorials on the craft of writing. So that's available to anybody that's an aspiring writer. There's information about how to and suggestions about how to get published, how to get an agent, how to write a hero, how to write a villain, how to structure your story, all the sorts of questions that novice writers, people starting to get going in this industry, can find so perplexing. That's all available at Career Authors, or you can get it at ITW too.
Yeah, well, I wanted to mention it because I know it's on your website, and of course you have a website, the two of you, and Andrews and Wilson. And what is it called? It's
Andrews-Wilson.com.
Andrews-Wilson.com. And there is there are your bios, so people can read more about you. And on Andrews' section, you have there about the career authors, and I think there's a link there so that people can really just go straight to it. And I thought that was such a nice thing because you know, when you guys started off, yeah, you had been writing paranormal.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
I started out writing supernatural thrillers.
Supernatural thrillers, that's exciting. See, this is, he is so multifaceted. A real overachiever here, you guys. But did you have any idea that when you wrote the first book that, I mean, you knew you were going to write a series. You already had that planned.
When we started with Tier 1?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that we definitely felt like it was set to be a series. And I will tell you that it's, you know, everyone's like, oh, we were so shocked and surprised. We really weren't. When we had this book done and we really tuned it up, we knew we had something special. And there wasn't a lot of ego involved because for me, it was like, wow, thank goodness I met Brian. And Brian is like, oh, I'm so glad I'm writing with Jeff. And but we knew that we had something that was special with that first Tier 1 book. And it was obvious.
Well, I knew you had something special with that first. The minute I read that, I thought, oh, this is a hit. This is, you know, of course, I don't know. You haven't made an announcement that you've been picked up yet by.
Well,
you are about to be picked up. Are you?
Well, So what's been fun about Tier 1 is how the brand has grown. So it's become its own universe now. And we have already announced, as has Blackstone, that we have a spinoff series. So the Tier 1 world is going to continue to grow. But we always start by saying, don't worry, we're still writing Tier 1. John Dempsey's not going anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Book 6 is coming out. But one of the fan favorite characters that we've developed is this guy, Keith Redman. Chunk is his nickname. And he's a SEAL that appears in a number of these books. He's in War Shadows. He's in Crusader 1. He's huge in Red Spectre with his teammates,
yeah.
Riker and Tripp and these guys. And these guys are SEALs that are from an East Coast-based SEAL team in these books. But the premise of the Tier 1 series, of course, is that the entire Tier 1 SEAL team is wiped out in Book 1. Well, obviously, at some point, they would stand up a new JSOC SEAL team. And so the premise of our spinoff series, which is called Sons of War, is that Keith Redman and his boys are the new Tier 1 SEAL team. And so they're one squadron of two squadrons in the JSOC SEAL team. And so we're going to have an entire series dedicated just to them called Sons of War. First book in that series will be coming out next winter. So we're super excited because we get so much mail about Redman. Like, when are you going to see Chunk more? Bring Chunk back. We want to see him in the next book. Well, now he's got his own book. So we just signed a 3-book deal with Blackstone, and we're super, super excited about it. So yeah, that's going to be coming out next winter. So Book 6 will be out next fall or late summer, and then the Sons of War series will kick off next winter.
And what about Hollywood? They've been calling, right?
Well, we've had a few early conversations.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'm sure they will be calling because heaven knows they need something. I'm telling you, some of this stuff that they're doing, it's just please. I can't even go there. Some of it is so, it's so predictable. So just not fun. Whereas your books, each and every one of them has something special. And then, of course, I'm obsessed with this the new one because I think it just reads so beautifully. And having written scripts in Hollywood, I always, when I read a book, I see it as a movie. And so, of course, for me, Tier One, the minute it was a movie. And the same for Crusader One. That was like a film in my head. I almost didn't have to, like, I'm reading the book and I'm saying, No, I am reading a book. No, I'm seeing the movie in my head. I'm like, what? I have to control myself. It's not a film in my head. I'm not going crazy.
Kathy, have you listened to any of our audiobooks?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. You have the very, very best narrator.
Ray Porter.
Ray Porter is amazing. I just...
Yeah.
He, just alone, you're like transformed, into a like a character in the books. I mean, you're like walking along with you. It's quite amazing. His voice is terrific.
Yeah, Ray is one of the most gifted voice actors in the business for sure. And we're very, very blessed and lucky that we got connected with him, that our publisher set that up, because we know early on, at least, most people were listening to the books because they want to hear Ray Porter. Like, he could read the phone book, and there's going to be people that are going to read it because he's just amazing. But he has brought our characters to life in an amazing way. We're so glad that we have him. And Ray is hopefully going to be doing the Sons of War series as well, it looks like.
Yeah, because when he gets to an action sequence, his blood pressure is going up. Like, you feel like, okay. He gets so into it. It's beautiful.
I said to Jeff, he records fairly late in the process. The book has to be completely done and ready for publication. So he's getting it on the tail end. And by the time it gets recorded and gets to us, we don't get it in advanced Audible. It doesn't come out on Audible for us any earlier than it does for anybody else. So, on Pub Day, on November 5th last week, I downloaded the book immediately. I called Jeff. I was like, listening to it, it's like John Dempsey is like an old friend. It's like I finally get to hang out. And, I've been waiting a year to hang out with John again, and I finally get to. Even though we wrote it, it's not until I get to hear him talking that it feels real to me.
It does. And because of his voice and the way he reads and the excitement he gets, you really do feel a part of the story. The listener becomes an integral part of the story. It's wonderful.
And yeah. I don't think you can teach that. I think Ray just has a gift for being able to do that.
Well, see, it's one of those radio voices. In the olden days, people used to listen to the radio and get really deeply involved in the stories. And I still love, on Sirius Radio, I love to listen to the old radio shows.
Yeah.
Because I love those voices. And it is amazing how, with a wonderful voice, you can just draw somebody into a story. So you guys have been really, as you said, lucky in many ways that you hit upon the right voice for your characters and for your story.
We knew we wanted him from the beginning. We had hoped that we could get him. And we do spend, not to toot our own horn a little bit, but we do spend quite a bit of time tailoring our books for audio. So that means that, we read the sentences out loud. We actually try to, we're not talented like Ray, but we at least can get a feel for, okay, does this sound good? Because a lot of times the written word is, the sentences are much longer and more complicated, and they don't flow off the, flow off the tongue, just like I was tongue-tied just there. So, when you write for audio, it's a little different approach, than if you're just writing for print. So we try to do our best to get the book all ready, gussied up for Ray just as best we can before he even sits down with it.
And it is important, and I always tell authors, read your work out loud, because if you can't read it, if it doesn't flow when you're reading it, what do you expect it to happen in the minds of the reader? And then nowadays, every book is turned into an Audible book. So you have to have that. You have to have that ability to write so that it flows. There is a certain rhythm that people have, a natural
exactly
rhythm.
Right.
And if you don't match that rhythm, it just doesn't work.
It feels uncomfortable when you read it, and you don't even know why.
Yeah, you don't know why. What's wrong?
I think we've gotten better as we've moved along in the series too. And so what's really fun about our action sequences is that you have this radio communication between all the characters. So there is dialogue punctuating the action all the way through the sequence. And what you find when you start reading these sequences out loud is you'll say, you know what, I need a beat here, or I need a transition here, or I need somebody to say something here, or they're saying too many things, I need to get back to action. And so you start to figure out that rhythm that you're talking about, Patsy, that flow. And it's hard to say exactly what it is, and we don't have a checklist that we're using, but it is more of this, okay, this doesn't feel right, it needs to be tweaked. And when you finally get it right, you're like, okay, yeah, that's very satisfying when you hear that performed out loud.
Wow, you guys are so terrific. And I just want you guys both, what's your message to vets out there? Because I it breaks my heart to hear that there are vets who are struggling. And I know that you guys individually and, together as a group and your friends make an effort to get out there and help vets.
Yeah, I think the message that I would share with all the veterans out there is that the camaraderie doesn't end when you leave the service. I think that's one of the problems that a lot of veterans have, in addition to whatever traumatic event they may have experienced that's troubling them. They do fine until they leave, and then it all comes crashing in. And I know that's how it was for me. The things that I experienced weren't even on my radar until I stopped doing the things I was doing. And then it was like, where did all this come from? That's happened 4 years ago, and it's only bothering me now. And I think that the reason for that is you get removed from the brotherhood. And so my message to the veterans is that the brotherhood is still out there. And all you have to do is make a half an effort, and you'll find it through organizations like the SEAL Legacy Foundation, organizations like the Mighty Oaks Foundation, which is an incredible organization that Chad Robichaud runs, Wounded Warrior. You almost can't go on the computer and search veterans without finding dozens and dozens. And all it takes is a phone call or an email to reach out, and you'll find that your brotherhood is still there. They're still there. They're still waiting to help you. They're still waiting to stand in the gap for you. And you just have to reach out. So I think that's the message that I would share.
I love what Jeff has to say. That's a great message. And I think I echo that. And I also, just something I've been thinking about a lot lately, Jeff and I try to stay very nonpartisan, apolitical in this series. That's important to us because as veterans, I served under both the Democratic and Republican administrations. And right now, I think it's so divisive that we need to remember that, as veterans and as Americans, Democrats are not the enemy. Republicans are not the enemy. We are one people, and we should be able to have dialogue and discourse. It is not about being right. It is about finding the right solution for our country. So I just worried. General Mattis had an op-ed that's coming out in the Atlantic for next month, and he talks about his worries about the erosion of faith in our institutions, and I see that happening, and it concerns me too. And I think it's important that we all remember that, ultimately, we're all Americans, and we need to support and defend not only our country outside of our borders, but we need to remember that these institutions that our forefathers have built, the judiciary system, the legislative and the executive branches, these things are all institutions that we need to respect. And we need to get back to that environment of mutual respect where we can have discourse and dialogue instead of diatribes and death threats.
Exactly.
It's quite disturbing.
And to really use that SEAL motto where you say, I will draw on every remaining ounce of strength to protect my teammates and complete my mission. And all you vets out there, your mission is to live a happy, good, strong life and to do whatever you can to help the next generation. So I really want to talk to the people at the VA hospitals and all the hospitals around who encourage the people in the hospital there, write. Because it is very important that, and you don't have to write a book about, you know, about an action, and you don't have to write a cookbook, write a book for kids, do something, write a memoir about your great-grandmother, anything just to calm yourself down and find something to be proud of.
And to re-engage, right?
And re-engage.
I mean, that's part of it, is you feel like you're disengaged.
That's right.
Once you're if you spend 20 years in a team, you're out, you feel disengaged.
Yeah.
And so writing is a great way to re-engage. But anything you need to re-engage, just remember, you're still here, the country's still here, they're grateful, and you're never out of the fight.
That's
never.
It. And we will never forget you. And we do appreciate everything that our vets have given up for us and everything that they do to make our country just that little bit better. And I want to thank both of you so much for being on the show today. You know, you are both amazing, amazing people. Brian Andrews and Jeffrey Wilson, they are the great writing team of Tier One and other books coming out. And the new book is Red Specter, and it's available wherever books are sold. And you can go to their website, which is
andrews-wilson.com. That's it.
And you can find out more information there and get this book. And just, you'll find yourself reading that hospital scene at least twice and maybe three times. So because it's great. So I want to thank you guys for being here today. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us. It's always great to see you, Pat.
Okay.
You're such a delight, such a great interviewer. Thanks for having me on the show.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those words, lights, camera, action. And I predict that you too will hear those words in the not too distant future, because Hollywood has to come knocking, because your books are made for streaming video. Not a feature film. Feature film would be too short. I want hours and hours. I mean, I don't want a 1 hour and a half film. I want hours. I want 50 hours of Tier One, right? On streaming video.
Right.
And Apple and Netflix and all of those guys have a lot of money, and they have to come knocking on your door, because I think first of all, you have built-in audience, everybody who loves your books. I think of all the authors, you get so many 5 stars. I don't usually look at stars, but yours are amazing. Everybody loves your books, and there's no, it's no wonder, because they are just, you're brilliant writers.
Thank
you two
you
are
so
brilliant
much,
writers
Patrick.
And delightful,
so
and of course, again, thank you so much for being on, Brian. And Jeff here is smiling, and he looks like an actor too. So, you guys can do a cameo when your streaming video comes out of the Tier One series. Okay.
Someone has to be Grimes, not
Yay.
It.
Okay. Again, thank you both so very, very much. Okay. And always say something nice to somebody. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. And he's saluting me, and I salute him, because I should have been in the military, because I would have become a general, because I love the military, and I also love bossing people around. So I would have been really great as a general. Bye-bye, now, guys. Bye. Bye-bye.